K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
I've been running for Jesus, I'm not tired yet. I've been running for Jesus,
I'm not tired yet.
I've been running for Jesus,
I'm not tired yet.
No, 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 I'm not tired yet. No, 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 I'm not tired yet. I've been singing for Jesus, I'm not tired yet. I've been singing for Jesus,
I'm not tired yet.
I've been singing for Jesus,
I'm not tired yet.
No, 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 I'm not tired. No, 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 I'm not tired yet. I've been shouting for Jesus, I'm not tired yet. I've been shouting for Jesus, I'm not tired yet. I've been shouting for Jesus, I'm not tired yet. No, 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 I'm not tired yet. No, 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 I'm not tired yet. I'm not tired, not tired yet. I'm not tired, not tired. Said I'm not tired, not tired. No, I'm not tired, not tired yet. Gonna keep singing, not tired yet. Never get tired. Gonna keep singing, not tired yet. Not tired yet. I'm not tired yet. Not tired yet. I'm not tired, not tired yet. I'm not tired, not tired yet. I'm not tired, not tired yet. Never get tired, not tired yet. Gonna keep singing, not tired yet. Never get tired, not tired. Gonna keep singing, not tired. Never get tired, not tired yet. Never get tired, not tired. Never get tired. Said I'm not tired, not tired. No, I'm not tired, not tired. No, I'm not tired. Said I'm not tired. No, I'm not tired. No, I'm not tired, not tired. Oh, not tired, not tired yet. Said I'm not tired, not tired yet. Said I'm not tired, not tired yet. Not tired yet. Not tired yet. No, not tired, not tired yet. No, I'm not tired, not tired yet. Said I'm not tired, not tired yet. Said I'm not tired yet.
All right. We kind of got to work on that one. That was a little fast there. That's all right. Nevertheless, there's nothing wrong with giving God some praise.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with giving God some praise. Let me catch my breath just a second here, y'all.
Let it rain, let it rain. Hear me say it's raining.
It's raining.
Oh, it's raining.
It's
raining. Oh, it's raining.
Father God.
Oh, it's raining.
Lord, we come in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hear me say I feel the rain.
There is no other help, God, we know.
Oh, I feel the rain.
Lord, you are our strength.
Oh,
you are our joy, our peace. You are our hope for tomorrow.
I feel the rain.
And Father, we need you.
Say, open the floodgates.
We need you, Lord, on every hand.
Of heaven, let it.
And Father,
rain.
We desire to please you, God.
Let it.
So we pray,
rain.
Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in this earth as is already done in
heaven.
And we pray for your will to be done in our lives, in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls.
Let it.
We ask God that you would look upon us, God. Every home represented here today, Lord. Father, you know what we stand in the need of, God. You made us, God, and you know all about us, God. You know our weakness and our strength, God. Please have mercy right now, God. And Father, sometimes, Lord, we don't know what we should pray for. But we know that the Holy Spirit knows our heart. You know our heart. You know what we need better than we do, God. And I thank God you are able to meet our needs. You meet our needs each and every day. But the greatest need of all is you, God. And I found out in my life, when I have you, God, I'm fulfilled in every way. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us, God. Thank you for keeping and sustaining us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for all of the provisions that you have made for us, oh God. That we can live a godly life. That we can live, Lord, to please you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for your promises, Lord. And we can lean and depend on you. We can trust your promises, oh Lord. But we know that all of your promises are complete in Jesus Christ. And they are yea and amen. They are forever settled in heaven, God. So we thank you, God. We thank you when we read your word, God, that we can find peace. We find hope. We find joy, God. And that we can stand on your word, God. For you say heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will stand forever. It will last. Thank you so much, Lord.
My God,
thank you, God. Thank you that we're never alone, no matter what we go through, God. We are never alone, for you're always with us, walking with us, holding our
hands.
And sometimes we may feel alone, but we're never alone, because you promised that you would never leave us, nor would you forsake us. And God, we ask that you remember those that are lost. Touch their hearts while the blood is yet running warm. Help them to understand, Lord, that they're on the wrong
my
road,
God is
that they're on the path to destruction.
Thee to
touch them, prick their hearts,
praise.
That they may call upon you,
my
God,
God is
and be saved.
Thee
and we ask that you remember those that are sick and shut in all over our land. Have mercy upon them. And Father, we pray for the leaders that you have placed over the flock, the secular and spiritual leaders.
My God is a word.
That you would, Lord, that they would, that you would bless those spiritual leaders, God, undergird them, Lord, and God, that they would do what you have called for them to do. Feed the flock. Feed the people of God with your word. And to be an example to them. And we pray for those in the secular world, God, that they too may be saved and that they will hear your voice and follow your directions, God, that they may lead this nation, this people, in a better place. And Father,
too.
We ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins that we have committed against you, a holy and righteous
God.
We're in agreement with you, God. What you say is just and fair. And we repent, God. Forgive us, God, and cleanse us, creating us a clean heart, renewing us the right spirit. Bless our pastor. Keep him safe. Keep him strong, God. Bless his wife, Father. And we pray, God, that you will renew, revive, and strengthen them. And that when he come, return, God, his spirit and his countenance will be uplifted. Go with his father, God, as he's away. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. Amen. Thank God. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth throughout. Our scripture reading will come from John, 11th chapter of John, 45 through the 52nd verse. John writes this book. John, the son of Zebedee, he often referred to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. John wrote 1 John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was John that wrote John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. John wrote that. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto me, that where I am, there ye may be also. And ye know the way. But Thomas said, we don't know the way, God. So we know not whither thou goest, so how can we know the way? In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. John, that's in John's writing. But here in this 11th chapter of John, 45 through 52, it says, many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council together. What are we going to do? They asked each other. This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Then we're going to have some problems because the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation. But Caiaphas, who was high priest at that time, said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize that it's better for you that one man should die for the people than for the whole nation to be destroyed. He did not say this on his own as high priest at that time, but he was led to prophesy that Jesus would die for the entire nation, and not only for that nation, but to bring together and to unite all the children of God scattered around the world. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Just for a few minutes, I want to talk about God is gathering his children. God is gathering his children. Will you be in that number? Here in this text, prior to it, the Bible said that Lazarus had died. Well, rather, Lazarus was sick, and Martha and Mary, they sent for Jesus to let him know that his friend Lazarus was sick. But Jesus told them, say, well, this is not unto death. What's going on is with Lazarus is for the glory of God, and that the Son of God may receive glory. So in other words, this was a setup. This was a plan that God would be glorified through Lazarus' death. So the Bible says when they sent the letter, Jesus didn't get in a hurry. He stayed where he was 2 days. Then afterwards, he told his disciples, he said, let us go. I must go and awaken Lazarus. And they thought that Lazarus was just sleeping. And they knew the danger of Jesus going back to Jerusalem because they had plotted and tried to kill him before. And so they were trying to discourage him from going back. But Jesus said, I must go and awaken him. Because they say, Lord, now if Lazarus is sleeping, that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus said, he's not sleeping. Lazarus is dead. And I must go and awaken him. So here Jesus has returned. And when he gets back into the city of Bethany, Martha runs to him and tell him, you know the story. Lord, if you'd only been here, our brother Lazarus would not have died. And all Jesus could tell her, well, show me where you laid him, you know. And Martha says to Jesus, Lord, he's been in the grave 4 days now. Surely he's thinking. But Jesus had come to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so he told her, he says, Martha, if you would only believe. That's what the problem was. Martha didn't believe. She said, Martha, if you only believe, you'll see your brother again. And she was talking about, well, I know I'm going to see him in the resurrection, God. I know that. But I miss him right now. I know I'm going to see him in the resurrection when, you know, when we all get up. But Jesus had her to know, I am the resurrection. You know, I am the resurrection of life. Yeah. And anyone who believe it on me will live after dying. So here Jesus goes to the tomb and he calls Lazarus by his name. And he tells Lazarus, come forth. And when Lazarus come forth, the Bible says he was wrapped in his grave clothes and everything. And Jesus told him, loose him and let him go. And the Bible said that many of the leaders from Jerusalem, they were there with Martha and Mary. They were there comforting them from their brother's death, from Lazarus' death. And so they saw the miraculous thing that God had done, that Jesus had done. And the Bible said that many of them believed on Jesus. But yet, there were some that didn't believe. And I want you to know that many people, I don't care where you go, there are going to be some people that are going to believe, and there's going to be some that won't believe. No matter that they saw with their own eyes the power of God, they saw Jesus call forth this dead man that had been dead for 4 days and told death to loose him. And Lazarus came forth. And though they saw it with their own eyes, yet they don't believe. And so the Bible says they went back and they told the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees what had taken place, what Jesus had done. And so the Pharisees called themselves a meeting together. And the question they asked is, what are we going to do with this man? Instead of being excited that the miraculous thing that God can do in our lives, instead of being happy and glad for Mary and Martha, some of them call a meeting together, plotting and planning what we're going to do about this man. And my brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that everybody that say they love the Lord don't love the Lord. Everybody that come to church is not into the Lord. Everybody that come is not for your good. So we have to choose our friends wisely. These were leaders of the church. Christians should have been happy at the miraculous thing that God had done in Lazarus, knowing that he can do the same thing in their lives. But they were angry, and they were mad, and they were concerned about their own positions and their own reputation. So they said, we're going to have to do something. And people will call together a meeting on you in a minute. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who didn't even like each other, they were able to come together for this cause. So they came together and they say, what are we going to do with this man? Because if we don't do something, let me tell y'all, many people are going to start believing in him and they're going to start following his ways. And he says, then what's going to happen is the Roman governor, they're going to come against us. And they're going to want to destroy our temple and this nation. And then Caiaphas, the high priest, he was the high priest at that time, the Bible says. He was in the midst of them. And he was listening at the conversation to get rid of Jesus. Because Jesus was stirring up things. Jesus was spoiling their plan because they had been the rulers over the people of Israel. They had been governing the people. The Roman allowed them to make the decisions, and they had been making the rules and the standards by which God's people would govern themselves by. But then God sent Jesus, and Jesus was telling them the only way to be saved was to believe in him. The only way that they could be saved, they had to put their faith in him. And the Bible said not only was he witnessing, not only was he the message God sent, the message of salvation, but he was doing it with signs and wonders. And many people saw and believed and began to follow him. And these Pharisees knew that if everybody started believing in Jesus, then they would start what? They would start turning against some of those things that opposed those things that wasn't right, those things that were unjust. They would start opposing those things, and it would lead to problems. Because Jesus says to us, give to Caesar what's Caesar, but to God what's God. And so when it's not right according to what God's law said, then we have to oppose that. And so they said, we got to do something with him. And so Caiaphas, who was listening to him, he says, hold up, brothers. He said, now you don't know what you're talking about. He said, you don't realize that it's better for one man to die. It's better that Jesus died than for a whole nation of people to die. And the Bible says that Caiaphas was thinking that he was saying that of his own wisdom. He thought that he had come up with that plan. Hey, I got this great plan. It's better that Jesus die. Let him die. Then for all of us to die, then for a whole nation of Israel to die. He spoke it, but it was God's plan all along. That was God's plan from the foundation of the world, that he was going to send Jesus, that Jesus would be his message of salvation, not only to the Jews, but to the whole nation, to the Gentile, to the whole world, as a matter of fact. So he thought he was out of his wisdom. He was saying that. Let Jesus die. Let this one man die, then for all of us. And the Bible said that he didn't say that out of his own spirit. No. That didn't come from him. But the Holy Ghost put it in his heart. The Holy Ghost, he prophesied through the Holy Spirit. Look what it says here. He said in verse 54, it says he did not say these things on his own as high priest at that time, but he was led to prophesy that Jesus would die for the entire nation. So God sent Jesus to the Jews. And through the Jews, he wanted the Jews to be a light to the Gentiles. But we know that the Jews and the Gentiles didn't get along. They didn't get along. And so I'm so glad that God just didn't have the Jews, but he had another plan. And that plan that Jesus would come and he would die. And it says here, not only will he die for the nation, talking about the nation of Israel, but he said he would die for the whole world. He would die. But to bring together and unite all the children of God. that's scattered all around the world. And we know that all over the world, God has people. All over the world, God has people. Black, white, Jews, Gentiles, German, Chinese, Japanese. God has children all over the world. The Lord has children that have received Christ as their Lord. And he has some that is even living in secret because of the intense persecution that they have to face. They're not free like us to worship as we worship. But he has those people. And Jesus says in Isaiah 49, he says Jesus would do more than just restore Israel, but God has made him a light to the Gentile, that salvation would be to the end of the world. And Jesus himself said, I have sheep that is not of this fold that will hear my voice, and they will listen, and they will come to me. And so Jesus did not come just for the Jews, but he came for the whole wide world. He came to bring salvation to the whole wide world. And so when we look at this lesson here, we see that God had a plan from the beginning. And the high priest just prophesied God's plan. He spoke God's plan into existence. But it was by God's power and God's mercy and his grace that he sent his son into this world to die for us. And we are here only by God's grace. Only by God's grace are we here today. And so when we look at this lesson and we think about what God is doing for us, he's gathering all of his people all around the world. All around the world, God is gathering his people. And one day, we're going to all be together in one place. And he will be our God. He will be in the midst of us. And we shall be his people of every kindred, every tongue, and every language. Because Jesus has already finished the work that the Father sent him to do. He's already finished that. And through his resurrection, it proved that God was satisfied with what Jesus did. And so as I think about that, I'm reminded of Revelation, the 7th chapter of Revelation, when John gives us a glimpse of the future in that 7th chapter of Revelation. When John says, I looked and I saw four angels, he says, standing at the four corners of the world with the four winds, getting ready to destroy the world. And John says, and I looked and I saw another angel coming with the seal of God. And he said, and I heard the voice say, don't destroy the land. Don't touch the land. Don't touch the sea until the people of God be sealed in their forehead, until the servants of God be sealed in their foreheads. And John says, and the number that I heard was 144,000 that would be sealed.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church, Sunday school, 9:30 a.m., worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock.